Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Hi, I'm Carmen, your host for tonight. And today is February 11th, 2023. Welcome. It's good to be here tonight. It's been a long week for me. I'm pretty tired, but I wanted to come on, and I knew that God had something for me to speak tonight. At first, I didn't, but I was like, Lord, what would you have me talk about? Because he's always talking to me about something. But I always want to bring what he wants me to bring, not what I want. And I had really nothing, you know, that I felt that was right to bring. But as I was walking in my bedroom, I saw this book that I had pulled out the other night from hearing Prophet Randy talk about it. It's about Psalms 91. And I can't remember if I did. Yeah, I believe I've talked about some Psalms 91 before. But I want to take you back where I learned about this psalm and how it impacted me as a young woman. When I was young, I was a military wife, and it was the second duty station that we were at, and it was in North Carolina, Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina. And my husband and those in his company were going to be sent to war. I believe it was the Iraq War. And nobody knew what this war would entail. We were ignorant to so many things. Back then, we didn't have cell phones where we can communicate with our loved ones. And my husband was sent. Luckily, I was born again when I was when this happened. I was a new believer at the time, and I didn't know how God operated. And I had gone to a thrift store, and I bought this book, a used book, an old used book, of this book about Psalms 91. And I started standing on that Psalms 91 for my husband. I didn't have communication with him. He would call every 3 weeks or every month, or not even every month. Sometimes it would be longer, and I would never know. So it was like quick. The calls were quick, and he was nervous. He worked as a supply, giving supplies to the military, and for some reason, they moved him to the front. To the front of the war where the Marines were. And I was like, oh, that cannot be good. But I stood on God's word, trusting that God was going to protect him. And as time went by, my prayer was, before that, he had asked me to pray to protect for protection for him and his buddies. And so I prayed. And when I prayed, they had moved him forward to where the Marines were, right where there was a gate of these cyclone barbed wire in front of them. And I was like, Lord, I told you, I prayed for you to take care of him, not to put him in more danger. But then I said, you know what? Wherever he's at is going to be where he's safe. So that then something, you know, faith rose up in me, and I realized that God was going to protect him regardless of what I was he was seeing and I was seeing. Well, he calls me back weeks later when the war began, and he goes, oh my goodness, they send me up front with the Marines, and we were in buildings, yet with the Army were in tents. But the Marines were in buildings, and we were eating lobster and steak and all this kind of good food. And we could see the Iraqis, you know, raise their flag, their white flags, like in surrender. And we would send them back home. And he says, it was cool. It was all right. We were okay. I was okay. But when he even got to meet one of the colonels, Colonel North, something like that. He even took pictures of it. He says that once the war started, they sent him back with the rest of his group, where it was, you know, different. It was protected. But yet he was protected where he was up front. It didn't seem like it in the natural eye. But God had protected him. You know, I prayed, and immediately they sent him forward. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, God. But then, you know, that faith rose in me, trusting that what he says in his words, that they are true. And if you stand on them, not believing what you are seeing around you, you're going to know that God is true to his word. So I read that Psalms 91, and I want to read it to you. I have this book. And then years later, right, I go to a church, and then things are different. My husband is retired at that time, and the pastor of the church wanted me to lead a military ministry. They never had one, and they wanted one to be started. And he asked me to start one, and I did. And one of the ladies that would come around and help out had all these books that she had gave a donation, and she had a box full of Psalms 91 from Miss Peggy Joyce Ruth. And it was not to be sold again, but it was for donation only. And I recognized that book because I had bought it from a thrift store many, many years before when I was a baby in Christ. And so we passed those out to the soldiers. Many of those did go to war and came back safe. Some of them weren't born again, but came back, and God did a work in their lives afterwards. And God listened to the prayers of their wives. And so this psalm has meant a lot to me because I've gone through a lot of things that God has protected me from, and mainly through the military, seeing the things that were happening at that time, and me trusting in the Lord, not knowing if I would be a widow, but my trust was in God. I was like, Lord, what are you going to do? And he will confirm things to me. He confirmed things to me that my husband was going to be okay. And so he did. And so let me read this Psalms to you, because in the coming days, we might need this. We don't know what we're going to be facing. Whatever it is that we face, whether it's personal, whether it's through our family, whether it's through the times that we're living in, this is a good psalm to know and to understand and pray over, and trust in the Lord going to do what he promises in this psalm. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinion, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalk in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Wow, that is amazing. There's been others that have given testimonies, and you all know I love testimonies. One testimony that I see in this book is of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was an amazing woman. She was a survivor from the wars in Germany. And she tells of many of her testimonies of protection, how angels would protect her from the guards. But in this particular clip from a book she wrote, it says, many people came to know and trust the Lord during World War II. One was an Englishman who was held in a German prison camp for a long period of time. One day he read Psalms 91. Further in heaven, he prayed. Father in heaven, he prayed. I see all these men dying around me, one after the other. Will I also have to die here? I'm still young, and I very much want to work in your kingdom here on earth. He received the answer. Rely on what you have just read and go home. Trusting in the Lord, he got up and walked into the corridor towards the gate. A guard called out, prisoner, where are you going? I'm under the protection of the Most High, he replied. The guard came to attention and let him pass. For Adolf Hitler was known as the Most High. He came to the gate where a group of guards stood. They commanded him to stop and asked where he was going. I'm under the protection of the Most High. All the guards stood at attention as he walked out the gate. The English officer made his way through the German court side and eventually reached England, where he told how he had escaped. He was the only one to come out of that prison alive. There's another one about a sergeant, Sergeant Harold Barkley. And this one, it touches me because as a military wife, I understand, you know, what soldiers go through and their families go through when they go to war. This testimony about Sergeant Harold Berkeley of Brownwood, Texas, is told by his daughter, Janie Boyd. Sergeant George Harold Berkeley served in World War II in General Patton's 320th Infantry of the U.S. Army, Company E. Continuous fear eliminated any expectation of ever returning to his wife and baby daughter. The same fear kept his wife terrified when she would see a Western Union truck delivering letters of war casualty. Once a Western Union messenger came to her door by mistake and said that she would freeze with terror. Sometimes as many as 6 weeks would go by without a letter, during which time the media reported that half of Harold's company had been killed. The Battle of the Bulge saw his whole outfit cut off from the rest of the army. Finally, however, a letter came from Harold saying that God had given him Psalms 91, and he now had absolute certainty that he would come home without even an injury. So certain was he of this promise in Psalms 91 that when the medics said that they needed volunteers to go to the front lines to bring back the injured, Harold volunteered and made repetitive trips under the extreme enemy fire, saving many lives. The citation for the Bronze Star Award that he received said, for bravery, but Harold insisted that it wasn't bravery since he knew nothing would happen to him because of the covenant promise God had given him in Psalms 91. When he came home without a scratch, it was obvious that angels had indeed borne him up in their hands, allowing no evil to befall him. And there are many more testimonies in this book. I had also read of other testimonies of Psalms 91, and that is the psalm that soldiers take, even in little medals and little coins inscripted in these coins, the Psalms 91. And there's been stories about how battalions, you know, big groups in the military, they all would pray the Psalms 91. And when they came home, all of them, none of them had been harmed. And so there's been testimonies in the military where they have proof that this has happened, and testimonies of things, you know, the wild things that only God could have done. So I bring this to your attention so that you can look at that scripture and dissect it and understand it. This is like a soldier standing, and we are soldiers in the army of God. We are. We're in God's army. He is our commander-in-chief. And we don't see it, but there are arrows sometimes shooting at us, and it's the enemy. So, you know, whether it's a spiritual attack or a physical attack, God is there protecting us. And the more we read his word and understand what his promises are, we can stand on that and know and have that confidence like this soldier, this sergeant, had about his protection, his future protection. He knew. And so he was free to go and help other soldiers because he knew God was protecting him. There's another story about a woman in this book where she talks about how she's captured. And this man comes up to her house and pulls out a gun and takes her captive for money. And she was afraid. She was shaking in fear. She was terrified. But she knew, she shook that off and realized, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. This can't happen to me. So she started remembering the promises of God and started, you know, speaking that and praying it out to the Lord. And she escaped with her life. Later on, the FBI, they were amazed because this was a big criminal. This was a really bad criminal, and he had problems. He had problems. He had assaulted women and sexually, and that was one of her fears, that would happen to her. And she was getting ready to have a grandchild, and she wasn't ready for that. So she trusted in the Lord, and God got her out. She was amazed. The FBI was amazed at how she was able to escape. Let's put it, they took her in a car, and, I mean, she says she would go through rail. She knew she had gone through railroads. There were certain little things that she would hear that would give her knowing where more or less she was, but nothing happened to her. And so she heard that voice, and she was able to call out who that man was. They captured them, and he was put in jail. So in anything, God can protect you. So I leave you with this tonight, and maybe you have a testimony of your own of God's protection. I know God has protected me from many things. While driving, I've had amazing protection, and I won't go into that tonight, but maybe you do have. And so I'll finish with that tonight, and I encourage you to read Psalms 91 and study that and prepare yourself in that. Trust the Lord in that promise. Amen. All right, so we'll take our first caller. Give me one moment here. All right. I'm a little bit. All right, give me one second here. So I won't misplace who I'm talking to. All right. All right, our first caller is 303-517. Your name and where you're from. 303-517. Your name and where you're from.
Veronica and Mike.
Oh, okay. Give me one moment. Let me mute you, and then I'll get back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Veronica and Mike. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for my brother and my sister, Father God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I sense like I'm seeing like it's God was giving you like a walking stick, but it's really a staff of some kind. And this is for both of you, a staff of some kind, and it represents an authority that he gives you. And I don't know what it is that you are facing, but God is giving you an authority. And he's giving you this staff, or he's giving you that authority. And that authority is for you to stand against the enemy. And so God wants you to understand that so that you could go confidently before whatever you're facing and understand that God is with you, that it is God that's giving you the authority to stand in the name of Jesus. You know, because sometimes, you know, even standing, you know, God tells us sometimes to be still and know that I am God. You know, watch and see what he's getting ready to do. But for that, he's giving you that authority to stand also, to be before him. You know, it's not for everybody. This is not for everybody. So I see you like before a challenge. And this is what I'm seeing. It's almost like, hallelujah. It's almost like God is letting you see that there's going to be something that he's going to open. And you're going to be standing there. But he's giving you an authority to do that. Okay, whatever it is that he's showing you to do. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that authority that you give them, Father God, and for the things that you're about to do in their lives, Father God, the things that you're about to show them, the things that you're about to move in their lives, Father God. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for this couple. I pray that you strengthen them, that you give them clarity, Father God, in what they are to do and what they are not to do, or just stand in the name of Jesus. You know, that's all I see you. It's like, I don't know, maybe you do know what it is, but I see you almost like if you're standing before like Moses was standing before the Red Sea, ready to open, you know, and the enemies were getting ready to attack them. But he had authority. He had authority. God told him, stick out that staff and see what I'm about to do. And so you have the authority. You have an authority in the name of Jesus. And trust in the Lord. Amen. That's all I can tell you. All right. Thank you, Lord. Veronica, how are you?
Good. I would like to know if you can please pray for my daughter.
Okay.
Good.
What's her name?
Selma.
Selma?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Father, for Selma, Father God. We just lift up this this young woman, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Selma. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes, you know, Veronica, children will do things and they don't understand the troubles that they get themselves into. But I pray that the Lord is showing me that he's going to open her eyes. He's going to open her eyes to certain things, and he's going to bring her to her senses to help her to understand that God is in control, that God is in control, that we are not in control. And we thank you, Lord, for this young woman, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because of the many gifts you have put in her. I thank you, Lord, that you give her wisdom, Father, even to take care of her health, to take care of her body. And thank you Lord. Sometimes kids will do things and they think that they're not hurting anyone. But I see that God's hand is upon her and that he's going to lead her and guide her. He's going to lead her and guide her, and she will see. And she will then be a voice to lead others, to show others the way that they should go. Thank you, Lord, for this child, this Selma, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name, and Lord, keep her, Father God, even from herself, Father God. Sometimes youth don't realize what they do. They don't understand there's some dangers in life. Keep her even from herself, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Veronica, do you have anything else for us, a testimony?
Here's Mike.
Hey, Carmen, how are you? Okay.
God bless you. I'm good.
God bless you, too. It's, you know, it's an interesting season right now where,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we first started our ministry, like, God gave me such a clear vision. And we told you before,
mm-hmm.
we lost a lot of money in the last year, and some land and property, and everything went upside down. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we walked on the mountaintops, and, you know, it was like, in the name of Jesus, you know, we cast you out, deliverance, all that. And it's a weird season where God really slowed me down, and we're waiting on, like Randy said, like, I don't want to do anything if it's not God's will. I don't want to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to promise God's will. And you know, accepting the loss of certain things, trying to understand, but standing still. And it's right, the enemy comes in like a flood. But the way I did warfare before, where, I mean, like, I understand it's a fine line because we have to wait for that cup of iniquity to be full. And it's hard sometimes. You know, we bless our enemies. We bless everything, even though we know things are unjust and everything, and we continue to press on and make sure that our hearts are clean and that we're ready for the season. But it is a season where we're unlike any other season, where Randy talked about the giants in the land. We cannot go before him. This is not like other seasons. This is a different dispensation. This is a different transition. And it's because I'm so used to, like, I take my sword and I go at it. And I've seen success since I've been walking with God. And for the first time, it's like, if I don't hear you, I'm not going. I'm not doing it. And it's hard transitioning into this season, but it's a greater way to glory. It is new wine, and
but we have to be careful, and we can't move ahead if God is not leading us to move ahead, because it could be dangerous to do that. And I was telling Prophet Randy that I'm listening to everything he's saying. He is a man of God, and sometimes, you know, people may think, you know, well, why him? Well, why not him? Because he's humble. He listens to the Lord. He's not perfect. None of us are perfect, but his heart is for God. And what he teaches, we have to listen closely, because you may miss something that may be just for you to hear and to follow. I know that I listen to everything that he says, and one of the things that he mentioned earlier was that because we're in the season that we are in, you know, we just can't go and do whatever we feel like. It's vanity, right? I spoke about vanity last week. We can't do our thing. We can't do our thing and think that, you know, God's going to bless that. We have to be real careful to follow the voice of God, because especially when you're doing ministry, sometimes you want to go ahead and do something that God has not sent you to do, and you could put yourself in danger.
Correct.
You could put yourself in danger, even to the point of death. And I've seen it. I've seen that happen, where people go in and they want to do something that God has not called them to do, and they lost their lives because they got out of God's protection. They went to do their own thing.
We had a piece of land up in Colorado Springs, right? And we fought for it for about a year and a half. And God did call us, and it was supernaturally given to us. And there was a guy that was trying to kill us. Literally, we ended up getting involved with things that we really didn't want to. I mean, it was dealing with people coming out or dealing with people that are on drugs and other things. It was a whole different ballgame. I mean, it was okay when I was bringing them to, but actually trying to deal with them on the level that we were was, I don't know if I went before him or not, but the guy ended up trying to kill us, ended up dead. He ended up getting murdered by the person who stole our land. There was a huge fire that almost took out 5 subdivisions. Now, whether we get land back or not, I don't know, but I mean, we lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in that, and it was probably the scariest thing I've ever been through. I mean, it was so real. But, I mean, we played for our lives, and you know, the blessings were there. Whether I went outside of him on it, I don't know. But it.
But we have to trust God sometimes, you know. Sometimes we want it when we want it, and it can't be that way. God works things behind the scenes without you even realizing that they're being worked out. I know that lately God has been showing me that for me. Before, there were some things that would happen, and I was like, God, why are they getting away with this? But lately, I've seen the hand of the Lord, that because I do not do anything and I trust God that he's protecting me, things turn out against my enemies, and they realize, they, for some reason, they know that what's happening to them is because they did something to me. They know it, and they treat me differently afterwards.
It's not that I want
that to happen to them either.
Absolutely. God's desire to know one should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. But it's, you know, God does step in when he has to. God will protect us when it comes to those points. But, you know, Randy talked about, you know, we take the land, But even after we take the land, there's still a time where, you know, like with Abraham, there was four generations before he was allowed to go in there and take it. He walked the whole land, and then boom, he had to sit down. And it's there's a cup of iniquity that has to be full. And so whether God gives me that part of land, I don't know. But I know that where I went wrong was that I tried, even though God gave me permission to take it and showed it with signs and wonders, and I seen the miracles, that there's a time once we take it and to where we possess it. And you know, we can really, like you said, die if we try to take it before our time. I mean, at this point,
yes.
I need signs and wonders, evidence, before I make any kind of moves, because especially when you start seeing people being murdered and fires and El Paso sheriffs, like hundreds of them involved and FBI involved, it's scary. And this is real, but we are in a different season. But God, Randy was talking about how the armor is being taken off of people now. That where, you know, once we possess a certain area or a land, the armor is taken off them. So what they could do to us before, they can't do to us again. Those who bless us will be blessed, and those who curse us will be cursed. And it, for me, a strong doctrine with declarations and, you know, declaring things and wielding the sword. And I'm coming to believe that's a false doctrine. At some point, the way warfare was taught in the church, it's wrong. I mean, we can't just go in there and start calling fire and stuff. We've got to listen to God, especially in this season.
We have to really know that God is sending you to do certain things. Yeah, I'm even being careful. I know what Prophet Randy is saying because I've seen it. I've seen it in people that I know, and they've gone up and wanted to take authority over things that God had not sent them to do, and they end up dead.
Yep. And that's what I'm saying. Even if we have to, better be careful, because even the times where we possess it, I don't know if it transitioned in 2023, but where we're transitioning now, you're right. I mean, you better hear an audible voice and walk very close to him, because – and have no doors open, because this is a perilous season. And you can see Randy. I've been with him since 2012. He came to one of my conferences in 2012. And, you know, he's never been wrong. But when he starts warning, and I've never seen him warn and say, look, man, we're going into a time. You better get it right. You better have your altars in order, because we're going into a time. When he starts talking like that, it would be heed of everyone to really make sure that their altars
and the
are clean
prophetic.
Before.
Yeah, the prophetic is there to help us, to warn us, to admonish us, to help us, to encourage us. We have to listen to the different, you know, things that Prophet Randy says, and it may not be the same thing that we expect all the time. And we need to listen with spiritual ears, with God's hearing, you know, because if he says something, that will hit your spirit. And God will continue to open that up to you, to the understanding of what he's saying. And that's guidance from the Lord. And so we need to pray for him a lot, because, you know, I imagine it's hard. I mean, that it must be really hard for him at times, but I know that he's made for this. But
yes,
we need to continue praying for that. And whatever you're going through, one thing is that I recommend is that pray in the Spirit. You and your wife spend time, even if you don't know how to handle the situation, pray in the Spirit. That will work its way in there. I know that people that have had ministries that God had called them to do certain things, many years before they were praying in the Spirit, and then suddenly things started happening. But it took them years of praying in the Spirit for them to get to the place where God wanted them. And, you know, and whatever else the Lord leads you to do. But
can you,
we have to be careful.
Can you do me a favor? We had some transportation issues, so I'm looking at some cars on Monday. Can you pray for that? I mean, I don't want to end up in anything that's not going to work. And can you please pray for our business? Every time we're pretty prosperous in it, but I've had everything start coming against it on every side. And, you know, God's starting to make a way in it, but we have some real enemies in that. And, you know, I had to cut some people out of our lives that were, they're not right. I love them. I bless them. I hope they do great, but they cannot be part of my life. Their practices, the way that they are, you know, but that creates enemies when we have to cut people out, and it hurts. I do love them, but...
You know, as you're talking, Mike, the Lord is reminding me of another Mike. His name is Mike Gallagher, and he was a businessman. One thing that the Lord had him one time, because he figured things were different one way, and then God had to show him that operating in his kingdom was a different way. So this man got on his face on the floor before the Lord and telling the Lord that he wanted his way. One of the things that God told him was to forgive his enemies, especially those that had done him a lot of wrong. And this man, there was one particular man that owed him a lot of money for a lot of work that he had done for him. And he had called him up, and the man told him, I'm not giving you a cent, and I'm going over there to tell you to in your face. So do you know the man flew in to where he was living, and they went to the airport to one of those offices that you can rent for the moment, and they went there, and the Lord told him, don't say a thing. And so he obeyed what the Lord had told him, and he confronted the man. They were in the office, and the man says, like I told you, I am not paying you a dime. And then all of a sudden, Mike Gallagher says that this man turned white, and it was like he was seeing something, but what he saw, he never found out. And then he says, I'm going to pay you everything. It'll be in the mail. It'll be in the mail. And he left, and he doesn't know what it was, but he believes that it was an angel that was with him, and the man saw that. And he got paid, and he said nothing. Sometimes we have to be careful what we, you know, to listen to God's instructions and not to go against that. The other day, I had a friend
and just let things work out. Don't go before him. It's the hardest thing, but it's, man, I can feel the Holy Spirit just the tingle shooting down my arms and my face and shit, man. It's, you know, and I'm at peace. I mean, whatever, I forgive my enemies. I do. I've been wronged a lot and a lot of injustice, more injustice than anyone could imagine, to the point where people try to kill me and stuff, and, man, my motives, and God knows it, was to bless and to minister. And it's hard when you deal with high levels of people who practice occult activities and stuff. But, you know, it's, this is what you just said resonated with me 100%, and I'm still before him. I mean, I won't go before him. If God decides, if it's a sacrifice, I give it to God. But, you know, you start dealing with people with power. You start dealing with people that have a lot of influence, you're right. I mean, God has protected me. Like I said, the guy who was going to murder me and was probably involved in the cartel is dead now, and there was a fire. I mean, it's huge news in Colorado Springs. I mean, it's all over the news what happened on that land. Mm-hmm. God told me to leave it 3 months before, and then boom, everything broke out. God dealt with every single person there, and now the city has the land in their hands. FBI is involved. I mean, it's, these are the things I've seen throughout my life God do there. Now, what God does from there,
everything
I don't know.
We obtain has to be done in prayer. It is within with God. What's in the spirit ends up being in the natural, but you can't go in the natural trying to make it happen in the spirit. It doesn't go backwards. It's very dangerous to be working with things like this and not allowing God to lead you in everything. There's got to be a lot of fasting and praying. I remember living in a city in California. It was very demonic. I had these pastors. They knew some stuff of spiritual warfare, but they weren't very. The wife was more into it. Knew more. Saw more because she would see it, but the husband didn't see it physically. He didn't spiritually speaking. And, like, for instance, one time he sent us out to pray, go out down the streets of the city to pray. And so we did. two by two, and I went with a young man to pray for one of those fortune telling places. And the next day, and I say this so that you guys can learn, the next day I was a young mother, and I didn't know a lot about these things. I was learning. I was a new Christian. I didn't have a lot of experience. So the next day, I'm here praying. I prepared the Bible study for the children for the next day, and it was Sunday. And I was alone in my living room. All of a sudden, I get knocked down. Like cold black, and I'm like, I got something knocked me out. And so when I got up and I look around, it was like smoke all around me. And so immediately I called my pastors. I said, this is what's happening. And he says, oh, wait a minute, my wife wants to talk to you. And she says, I was just praying about for you. The enemy wanted to kill you. And it was because we had prayed, and we had no right to be praying against. God had not sent us that way, but our pastor did send us. He was inexperienced. Another time, there was a sacrifice done across the street from the church in the corner, and he wanted us to go and see what they were doing against the church. They would kill animals, and you know, you could see blood and stuff like that. And as we were going across the street, I could feel burning in my ears. And I said, Pastor, I don't believe we're supposed to be here. And he says, oh, okay. So we went back. The next day, he apologized to us. The Lord rebuked him for taking us to go over there. There are some things that we do in the natural thinking that it's okay to do, and it's not okay. Everything we do, we have to ask the Lord, should I go here? Should I go there? I remember a lady pastor went into a store. She was going to buy something, and immediately the Holy Spirit told her, get out. And so she obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit immediately. And later that week, she saw on the news the young man that was in the store that had first greeted her was dead. There was something about him that wasn't right. And the Holy Spirit knew it and had her move, protected her. So we may not understand everything.
I am with you 100%, and I definitely don't want to move unless I hear God. And if you could lift up a prayer that if we did go before him on anything that, you know, he forgives us. I mean, I'm in prayer. I just got out of a 20-day fast, and, you know, that we can, whatever God wants to recover, he will recover. And just pray over our business, please. And I hear you. I am 100% in agreement with you, and what you're saying is exactly what the Holy Spirit is telling me.
Yes. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Veronica and Mike's business, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you give them such wisdom in knowing what they need to do, that you give them clarity, Father God, to understand which way to turn, which way to go, who to make business with, who not to make business with. Father God, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father God, because you are our provider. And I understand they are having a business because they need provision, Father God. But I pray, Father God, that they understand that you are their provider. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Father God, that you would just show them what business truly to be in. Show them, Father God, something that is of you, because whatever it is of you going to last. Whatever is not of you will not last. And we just ask you, Father God, and about all this land and all this that's going on, Father God. Father, you can give them more than that. If that's not what you want them to have, then, Father God, we just pray that, Father God, you would show them where else they would need to go, what to do, and how to obtain whatever it is that you want from them, Father God. Ora va sandani ni kiriri andoro bokori shi andala bakira vishin dala makiri atara bakai. Don't do anything without God's peace.
Amen.
Don't do anything without God's peace. I know that sometimes we face things and we have families to take care of, but nothing that we do cannot be without His peace. He'll lead you and He'll guide you. He'll lead you and He'll guide you. Seek Him first in all things. I know that you know that. I know that you know that. But you know when God has told you something, and you know that you know that you know that it was Him. Ever do anything without knowing that knowing. Knowing that you know that it was God that told you. Don't move unless you feel that. Sometimes we're pushed. We're pushed to do things because, you know, of need. But trust in the Lord. Trust Him. Amen. I know it's not easy. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening, Carmen.
Go ahead. Okay. So we'll be praying, and just don't move and don't do anything. Continue listening on to what Prophet Randy's telling us. You know, you'll get messages. I get messages. Without him talking to me, I know what he's saying. I know he's saying things. He'll talk. He'll talk, and you got to listen. You got to listen. And we have to be careful. And we can't get ahead of, like you said, ahead of God. These days are not for that. We don't want to be the example.
No.
We don't want to be the example of what not to do.
You know, Randy said something, and he said, you know, that the other night when he said, you know, that we would we'd be the one saying, what if I would have obeyed God? What if I would have stayed in that hard situation? We don't want to be the one saying, when we miss our blessing, 6 months from now, what if I would have stayed in there? Because, you know, so many times you're like, okay, this looks like it would work in the natural. This looks like this is a good idea. But we know the ordinances. We know what God has told us, and we know that if we do that, you're right. I don't want to look back and say, okay, you know, in my own wisdom, because I was pushed like Saul to go to war or whatever, and I end up missing the blessing and having to look back and say, what if I would have done that?
Mm-hmm.
It is hard. It's hard to wait. It's hard. The waiting is hard at times, and it's a different kind, because God has always been real quick to tell me when I'm in situations like this, and it is the way He is right now. It is the season, and I get it, but it's transitions are always hard. Change is always hard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, especially when it takes a while. But you know what? God is working things that we don't see. He's making ways for us. But we can't, you know, not everything is going to be fast. So while He's showing you, He can drop something. Even as you're seeking Him, He can drop one word and you'll know what to do. You'll know what to do. And He will, and you continue to listen in on to PGN, because the prophets have a word always for you, you know, from the Lord. And sometimes they can help you not to go here or go there. For instance, this past week, the Lord was giving me something about Leviathan, about pride. And I was like, Lord, what are you talking about? And He says, give this word to this person. They're going to be dealing with this. Give it to this person. And I said, okay. Immediately I wrote, and I obeyed. And I sent it. I knew it was the Lord. And I said, do not enter into an argument with this situation. And they listened, and the opposite side was like, whoa. They didn't know what to do because they were wanting to fight. They were wanting to fight, and it was okay.
It's hard with Leviathan, and it's hard with the Jezebelic spirit, Python, all that, because if you go into physical at all, and I dealt with it on such a level that if you don't take it into the spirit, if you don't turn the other cheek, you're going to go into a war that you really don't want to be in. And it's,
only God can deal with that. Yeah, only God can deal with those things. He's the king. He's the one that knows how to deal with all of that. Those things have to bow to him. We have to be careful not to engage in none of that, because then God has to take his hands off, and then we get into big trouble. We get into big trouble. Leave it alone. I mean, our flesh wants to get engaged, but we have to have self-control.
Amen.
We have to have self-control and not enter into arguments. And that was one of the things that the Lord was telling me to speak about earlier. That spirit of jealousy wants to confront.
Sorry? Again, Carmen? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the spirit wants us, to engage with it. And, that's why we have to spend time with the Lord, so that God will clean us, help us to change. So when these things are present, we don't, fall at the feet of these of our enemies. We have to learn sometimes it's just to be quiet and let the Lord. The battle is his, and he'll take care of it. He's been showing me that lately, and it's been hard for me, because I'm like, Lord, but did you see? Did you see? And he says, there's a time to open up your mouth. When I say open your mouth and say this, then you say it. And it works. Trust me, it works, because it's been happening for me. And things have been changing around me. And I'm like, wow. Wow. But, we have to understand, whether they're drug addicts, whether they're normal people, day in and day out, the enemy will use whoever he wants to use. It just doesn't mean that there's a certain type of people. It's anybody. Even though in our spouses, our family members, they can operate in those spirits.
Amen.
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 And so we don't engage in that. Sometimes Leviathan wants to use the husband or the wife. And you do not engage with it. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Carmen. And what a beautiful prayer tonight, and we bless you.
All right. Well, God bless, and we'll continue praying for you.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Our next caller, give me one moment here, because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget who I talked to. All right. Stuff is serious, people. We really, really, these days that we're living in, it's no joke. We have to really be in tune with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I tell you, I'm paying attention. I'm like, Lord, help me, guide me, because I know that some of my family members are not listening. Some of the people that I know are not listening, and I got to pay attention. I got to know how to pray even for them. So praise the Lord. Okay, next caller is 459-553. I think, 553. Your name and where you're from?
Hello?
Mama? Your name and where you're from?
Hi, Miss Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Miss Barbara. All right, give me one moment. I'll pray for you. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I sense that you're having an understanding of the times that we're living in, and it's hard for you too. It is hard for you too. But you know, because you've seen many things, and you know that it's a tight shift now. Things are coming to a close, and things are getting tighter. And so, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know that things have to be handled in a different way. And it's not always that stern way, that hard way. You know that God is giving you strategies. I sense that he's giving you strategies on how to overcome the work of the enemy around the people that you're around with, the people that you minister to, the people that are even family. So God is showing you different things, and he'll be showing you even more things. That's what I'm sensing, Miss Barbara. I'm sensing that the Lord is showing you new things, and it's hard for you because it's different. It's different. This is different. This is different, but you're an obedient child of God. You're obedient to listen to his voice. You're obedient to follow what he says. It's almost like you're shaking your head and saying, Lord, how? Show me how. How to do this. How to do this. How to do this. But he's giving you strategies. Strategies, strategies, strategies is what I'm hearing. Strategies. He's giving you strategies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Barbara, Father God. Strengthen her. Give her the strategies that you say you're giving her, Father God, with clarity, Father God, that she will hear, Father God, and obey, Father God, so that she could bring in more of those souls, Father God, for your glory. Bringing them in. There's strategies for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's almost like, you know, like when you go fishing, you've done it so in a different, in this certain way, and then you go to different waters and you have to do it in a different way. Well, there's some strategies that have to be learned to fish over here than it is over there. And that's what I'm sensing. You know, they're different waters. Amen. There's different waters. There are different waters, and there's a different way of handling that. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Barbara, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Miss Barbara, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy. I'm excited. I love what you started the show out with, and then when the last caller, Mikeman, was talking and all the different things that had happened, and when you've been in ministry for that many years, you see many, 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 many things. And mm-hmm. I, like you said, I'm constantly asking him, you know, thy will, your divine will, and you have to, you know, watch what you say and how you say it. And they thinking that, you know, that you're not going in the deep, but you're in the deep. And you, there's just a certain way that you swim. And there's a certain mm-hmm. water that you're swimming in, like you were saying, kind of like that parable. And when you get around seasoned people, I'll put it that way, and you see things and you watch things and you know that the Lord behind the scenes fighting your battle. And I've seen mm-hmm. people come and go, and I've seen God kill. And so I would just hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. And that's why I watch what I say, because I know that when mm-hmm. I speak, it comes to pass. And so I'm very careful, and I think about what I have to say because of the people and the family that I'm around. And so when I give you instructions, I expect for you to follow those instructions, just like when Jesus tells us timely things, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and when you're going to do it. I'm listening. You got my divided attention, because I am not verging until I know for sure, that when I step out by faith that it's already done. And so when I heard you guys talking, you know how you don't want to move ahead, you don't want to move too fast, and the situation that I'm in, I have been praying, I've been fasting, I've been watching, and I've been listening. And like you said, the Lord had been speaking to me and speaking to my heart. And I'm like, Lord, how do you want me to go about it? When do I say the right thing? What time? And I'm just waiting. I'm waiting on that opportunity. I'm waiting for them to say, would you like to have words? You know, I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's years of experience. And when you're traveling and you on new ground, new territory, you better know what you're doing. And so I'm just grateful for you guys talking. I'm listening hard. I'm all in. So
you know,
thank you.
I've been serving the Lord for a long time. And
yes, ma'am.
It's never, it's like you never get it packed down, you know, it's always something and that you're learning. And so I never get comfortable where I'm at. You know, I'm always seeking the Lord because he can do things so differently from the last time or from years ago. And so that's why we have to be really vigilant and listening to what God says. Okay, Lord, how do I do this? It may not be comfortable, but the peace of God will lead us. And if we don't have peace in doing certain things, well, then we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't do it. You know, that I do know. That much I do know. That if I go out of that peace, it's not good.
You're right, because I know I think it was last Sunday night, I know it that they had someone praying, and the first thing they said, Barbara, would you work the altars for me? The man of God or the woman of God needs some assistance. Would you work? And, you know, and as we pray, we'll whisper something. And God was just giving me that little nugget to tell them or to encourage them or to keep the faith and, you know, and just to believe. And when the Lord starts speaking, it's just plain and clear. And so I enjoy that. And I just, you know, wait till my turn come, waiting on God to say, Barbara, go over there and hug that sister. She's feeling a little down about herself. She's got insecurity. And, you know, and I have to go over there and tell them to trust, you know, don't worry about how you look or you don't fit in. I said, you keep trusting the Lord. You keep, know who you are. And, you know, and sometimes I even have to tell that person you how beautiful they are and smile. And they just look at me. And I said, oh, yes, you are inside out. You're outside, inside. You're radiant, you know. And they look at me and just want to hug. And I just feel the tears just flowing. Because, you know, people need to be encouraged. The things that we're going through in this day and time, you know, it's hard.
It's
and
different
so,
for the youth now. We haven't experienced that, and that's wild. So I mean, but it's a relationship. A lot of times, we can get close to people, having a relationship with them, letting them see that we are there to love them, that we're there no matter what. You know, not talking about religion or anything, just giving them the proof that we're there for them. And then one thing leads to the other, and then we gain their trust, and then they understand where we're coming from. And then when they're ready, they come and they start asking questions because they know that we will love them, and we know the good and the bad and the ugly, and we're still there loving them. And so that's part of it, you know, developing. Those are strategies right there of drawing them in. You know, just loving them, knowing that, you know, no matter what they're doing, no matter if they failed, you're still there. You know, how many people haven't I loved that way? And they're like, they know that I love them. I'll say, I love you when I say goodbye. And there's this one person that says, I know you do. I really know you do. And I'm shocked. Because I've been through a lot of stuff with that person to help them to get to where they're understanding how to get closer to God and that it's not the way that they think. It's not that religious way. And with the good, mm-hmm. the bad, and the ugly, where everybody's left, I'm still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
To
it
stay
is,
with people that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. That's love. You have to love them, you know, and it's not easy. Mm-hmm. But I go back again. I get a breath of air again, and then I go back in. And continue ministering to them and helping them. And that's how we have to reach out to people. It's not
mm-hmm.
all about just calling, bringing them to church. No, church is anywhere. You go anywhere. You
mm-hmm.
go to their homes. You go to wherever the Lord tells you to do, what to do. You know, reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
If there's somebody
yeah.
that's having difficulty, we'll go and give them ideas, help them. You know, to bring their
mm-hmm.
lives up. And then they, you know, you always give me good advice. Yeah, it's the Lord's advice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start coming. So he's going to give
I'm
you strategies, more strategies.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
The wars are different. You know,
mm-hmm.
in each war that the military fights, it's a different war. It's not the same. They can't fight
mm-hmm.
with old weapons. They can't fight with old strategies. The new war, the new things that are coming are like new wars. And God will give you strategies for the new things that are coming,
mm-hmm.
the new things that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Fresh, new, ahead
yeah.
of the game, ahead of the enemy. Amen.
Yeah. And that's what he's been yeah. giving me, like a refresh on this level, mm-hmm. because when I see them, you know, it just, I said, Lord, prepare me, keep me ready. And then, because, you know, it's a process through a lot of things. And when you meet new people anywhere,
mm-hmm.
car wash, grocery store or something, and even if I don't call you back, but I'll call you and let you know that I'm always here, and don't think I'm going anywhere, I'll be here. And if you need anything, let me know. And so, you know, and for me to hear, my testimony is for me to hear when they tell you, I love you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being there for me. And it means a lot because it may feel like at times you're not doing anything, but then they'll come back and thank me later. And I said, well, just thank the Lord. It's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm excited. I just want to thank you for that.
Yeah, I remember when I was a young woman, when I first began
mm-hmm.
walking with the Lord, that's what touched me, people caring. Mm-hmm. And then you teach them how to care for other people. Sheep teach
mm-hmm.
sheep how to do things. And before you know it, we have other leaders. But it starts
mm-hmm.
somewhere. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff that's going out on there, on the social media and on TV and all that stuff that is changing the thinking of our youth, and it's not good. And we really have to, you know, not only embrace people of our own age, but the younger people too.
Yeah.
And that's hard because, you know, they have their own way of thinking, you know, that they know
mm-hmm.
it all. But
mm-hmm.
we do have to make mm-hmm. the effort. We do have to make the effort and reach out in different ways that our even our grandparents
mm-hmm.
and parents did. So God will give us the strategies. Amen. He's giving
mm-hmm.
you the strategies. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, Miss Barbara.
Well, I just want to stay obedient, you know, and making sure I'm on the right path. And when I heard that, it made me feel good, you know, to know
mm-hmm.
that you're doing something right for the Lord, for the kingdom of God, you know. So, but I know you have
and
other
you know
callers.
What?
Uh-huh.
Let me say something that because we may minister or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I want to encourage everybody to understand that when we minister, it's when we can and when we don't feel like it. There's
mm-hmm.
days that I don't feel like it because I'm so tired. I get up so early, but I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And, you know, it goes away. And I
mm-hmm.
make it through another week. And so we could easily put God aside and say, you know, well, not now because I don't have time, or I'm too tired, or I have too many things to do. Don't do that. Don't put God on hold. You know, minister even when mm-hmm. it's not comfortable to minister. If God is telling you to do it, then do it. You will be blessed for it. And I want to That's encourage true. Those that are listening to do that. When we have a mature audience, we have an audience that knows how to minister to others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, Miss Barbara, mm-hmm. thank you for calling. Thank God bless you. You have a wonderful week.
Blessing to you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller, 804218. Your name,
hello.
Where are you from? Yes.
This
your
is
name,
Angie
where you from
Virginia. Angie from Virginia.
Hi, Miss Angie. All right, let me pray for you.
Hello.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Angie, Father God. Thank you for Miss Angie, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Angie, Father God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, because she's like a flower that blossoms. She's blossoming, Father God. She's blossoming, Father God, in ways that she didn't even realize that she was blossoming. Thank you, Lord, Father God. You know, you are like one of these flowers that are useful even for medicine. There's some beautiful plants that are so beautiful, but they're used for medicinal use. There's some things that are out there that are, they may look pretty, but at the same time, they're used for something healthy. And that's what I'm seeing, that that even in your age right now, in your 60s, that you're blossoming. You're blossoming to what God is trying to do in your life like never before. And so there's going to be more of that. He's going to use you in a greater measure, especially in the end time, that he's going to be showing you some things. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you would help her, Father God, to write down, to jot down, to have a systematic way of gathering the information that she has, Father God, so that she can help others, Father God, in an organized way in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God. You know, I just see like if you're making some potions, but these potions are like bubbling up with little hearts. The hearts of love, the hearts of love. This is what I'm seeing you as, like you're, you know, in your little kitchen, in your little lab, preparing certain things, and it's bubbling with little hearts that are bubbling up in the air, and they're love because they're done with love. To you and the Lord cooking things together to give to others, to not only them, but to heal them. And they're done with love. I actually see that. I see that. It's almost like you're a little scientist and you're preparing little things and it's just bubbling out. But it's love. It's love. It's love. This is done with love. With love. It's you and the Lord. And he's showing you all these things, Miss Angie. And it's for a reason. So pay attention. Pay attention to what you're learning. It's for a reason. It's for a reason. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's what I'm seeing, Miss Angie. And that's cute. The way that the Lord shows me things. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
I'm in there cooking my bread, you say.
What are you cooking?
Oh, well, I have mullein cooking, and I was thinking about going to the place and buying some herbs and cook some, what is it called? Something broom. I want some nettle. I want some frankincense oil.
Uh-huh.
I have a list.
What is that all for?
Well, the one is the way the herbs work, there's a king, there's an advisor, and then there's the servant. So if I
That's
was to take hawthorn berry with the nettle, those are the go-to call is a king, because it's a real top-notch blood cleaner. It cleans out the impurities in your blood. You know, butcher's broom does the same thing, you know, or, you know, but not as strong as the go-to color. You can drink these in teas. You can either take it in, if you're not real bad off, you can just drink teas. Just get you some nettle leaves and some butcher's broom, and then you get some, maybe a little red clover, and put a little ginger, a little bit of turmeric, and pour hot water over it, good hot water, and let it steep for about 30 minutes, pour it over ice, and drink it all day. Make enough to,
and that cleans,
you know,
your
keep
blood?
Filling your cup. And that'll clean your blood and help your heart.
Mm.
If you want to add mullein, that'll help cleanse your lungs. You can put lots of different blends together to whatever you need to address. If you're having digestive problems, absolutely ginger helps that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
if you're having something like diverticulitis, you need to take starts with an M. You need psyllium. You need iron. You need a lot of these. There's a lot of different things. I can't even begin to list how many herbs are out there, but
are you writing all this
oregano
down?
No, it's in my head, but we're going to write it down. My friend and I, we're going to sit down and, you know, get some organization to it. But you can blend different things to address, but we're going to grow. I bought some dirt last year, and I wasn't able to plant, but I still have the dirt in the bags, organic dirt, so that my plants will be organically grown, you know. So
can I ask
I'm gonna try to do the best I can with what I have to produce the best optimal healing garden that I can plant. That's what I'm planning on planting this year, is a healing garland garden.
Good. Have you seen those starter water machines, you know, where they put pods in them and they start off the seeds? Do you think that's any good?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they sell them.
What are they?
Basically, seeds starts growing in water. They give it vitamins in the water, and it's under constant light.
Oh, you mean hydroponic?
Yeah, they
call
them different
things. I might set up a hydroponic area to grow some greens or stuff. I have a building that if I could close it in, I could hang lights and have a year-round growing thing going, but
like,
you know, that's going to take
what do they call those,
some investment. So
yeah, they call that something garden, that people have year-round to protect their plants from the winter
elements.
Yeah,
you can grow the greens, you can grow vegetables year-round in it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, but that's down the road. The lights are expensive and kind of, you know, I have a meager monetary budget at the moment. we'll have to work a little bit at a time and let it build and reinvest. That's one thing about
greenhouse.
A plant. It keeps greenhouse. It will continuously to produce, you know, if you take, you know, can get it going and start it good.
Yeah.
So they say it's hard to start the herbs from seed. We'll see, because I didn't have a problem getting them up. What happened is I left and, you know, nobody watered and they died.
Oh, okay. Well,
I had waterers, I thought. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that water, some people put PVC pipes and they put water in it and they grow stuff in them. Especially people with small apartments, they can do that in their balconies. And yeah, there's amazing ways of doing all that kind of stuff. It's just the time to do it. Yeah. Well,
I'm really impressed with how the herbs are working. Huh?
I really feel that the Lord is going to use you mightily with all this stuff. It's no coincidence that you're learning all of this. But
the thing of it is once you pray for someone, if you don't, you've got to do things that are healthy to keep activating, you know. The Lord is the healer, but he also says, you know, to use these things. If they used them in the temple, and the temple that was a representation, then if you think about it, and he calls us the temple, so we should, you know, maybe add some of the things that they had in the temple, which is the oil, which is the, you know, the incense. You know, a smell will open up, you know, the way your brain can think. If you put frankincense and lavender in a diffuser, it opens up your brain.
Really?
Yes.
And what effects would there be on the brain?
What would it? It would just it starts to open up the areas. It starts moving, you know, stimulating the blood flow and you know, stimulating, you know, your senses of stimulation to your brain.
Sort of like what Prophet Randy was talking about, you know, about the brain.
It's part of it. Absolutely. You know, when I was in Bethlehem, when they took the Christ child from the cave and laid the Christ child on the altar, you know, what was the name of the church? The Grotto. And they aired it at that time on TV. I don't know if they do that now, but they used to have it on Christmas Eve, and it's a live ceremony and service that they send out everywhere. Well, it was when, you know, Clinton was in office, that's when they did that. But anyway, they had the incense, and they were walking through, you know, swinging that, smoking, it's like a round ball with a chain, but it has burning leaves, and they're walking, you know, down through the aisle, and they're sprinkling, and they got the incense going.
Are you talking
and
about
they
the Catholic?
The Catholic Church does that, yeah. It's a Catholic service. I went to that. That's how I ran into Airfet.
That's how what?
But anyway. That's how I ran into Arafat. I went to Bethlehem to that. What happened was I had a London fog, and this nun would come to the worship service, and she'd wear a sport jacket, and God would tell me, that jacket doesn't look good with that outfit, you know, and he goes, yeah, why don't you give her your London fog, and I'm growling, no, I won't give her my London fog, I like my London fog, thank you very much. But she got the London fog, and I got 2 tickets to the Grotto. You're supposed to have it because, it's a very popular thing to be able to go to. And usually, you know, you have to have them long before they have that service. But we got them. The nun for giving her the London fog. We got 2 tickets. My friend and I went to the Grotto church service because she gave us the tickets to get in. You had to have tickets to get in.
Oh, okay.
And that's how
so
I went into Arafat. Well, I didn't really barter. I just, you know, I was arguing with God about my London fog, so I didn't want to give it up. But she kept showing up with that sports jacket with her nun outfit, and it didn't really look attractive. So I kept, when I looked, that would be the first thing, that doesn't look good together, because that's the way my mama, you know, that doesn't look good together. So my mother came out of me and said, thinking, that doesn't look good together. And he goes, give her your London fog. So obviously she didn't like the coat either, because she must have asked for a nice coat, because she got one. she would come to the chapel, and
are you there?
Yeah, she would come to the chapel, okay. And there would be like a little worship service. Around lunchtime, we would do worship and, you know, just enjoying. She had worship service every day in the chapel, you know, and people would come from the community. We had, her house was in the, I don't know how to say it without, I mean, I would say the Muslim area instead of in the Jewish section. So, but she had the Jewish people would come, the Muslim people would come. We had, you know, different, you know, Methodists and Catholics. It was just a hodgepodge of everybody that would come,
you know,
to that.
As I'm talking to you, I'm getting, remembering this one lady in our city that was into a lot of the things like you are, but she had a shop, and she helped a lot of people, you know, with the different things, and she taught about some tinctures and things like that, but a lot of the things she sold, you know, that they came from different companies already made. And so she was very knowledgeable, and she knew a lot, and she had it all organized in a database where she could help, you know, with different symptoms. And over the years, then we stopped hearing about her. And I went over there to see, you know, what was going on and what she was up to. She would give classes about the different things that were helpful for different ailments, right? But she got herself into some religious stuff. I don't know what it was that she got into that then people were, like, pushing her aside. They didn't trust everything that she said after that. And here come to find out about a couple of months ago, I went over there to find out, you know, what she was doing, if she was giving any classes. She died. She had come under some ailment and had passed away. And so she wasn't that old, but feel that she may have gotten herself into something that may not have been of the Lord. And it got her into some trouble. She did help a lot, including her father. She told his stories about how she would mess around with the oils on his toe and after a heart attack, and how the doctors found out about it and told her to stop doing that, that she was messing their testing and all that. But, you know, a lot of the things that she did help. She got a lot of...
Yeah, well, a lot of people have died because of this knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got a lot,
we
it's
have
got
to
a,
be,
it, yeah. Yeah, well, the, it's
I
it's
feel
not,
like that's the
well,
theme tonight. Yeah, I feel
well,
like
a lot,
that's the theme
well,
tonight.
The, okay, I can tell you this, you know, just like with some of the whistleblowers, they're dying, you know what I'm saying? But it's not because of what they're saying isn't the truth. It's that
no.
They're trying to shut it down, you know, some
no,
of
that's
it,
different.
You know, I don't
that's
know, I don't know if
not...
she got into something spiritually wrong, but I can tell you
yeah,
a story.
Yeah, exactly. That's
what I heard.
That it was something spiritual. She was mixing in the Christianity with something else that had nothing to do with God. And yet she was helping a lot of people, but for some reason,
if you read your scriptures, you'll see that there are oils mentioned in the Bible. There are herbs.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't despise the herbs and those
mm-hmm.
kind of things. Now, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the devil is quite aware. And he likes to do cheap imitations, and he's full of trickery and all of that. We're all aware that is,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that. And that's why when I say when you research, or if you're a researcher and you start looking this up, you're going to have to know that this is, it's not a Christian community so much. It is a mixed way of how people see. You've got druids that worship, you know what I'm saying? They all got something shifted in them. But originally, this the Garden of Eden is the Garden of Eden, and it was full of plants and herbs, and everything that the
mm-hmm.
man needed was there for him. And the enemy knows that too. So you have to use
mm-hmm.
your wisdom. You have to do it prayerfully. And you have to do it, you know, you have to walk soft before the Lord. If there's something that you start to study and it doesn't feel like, stop. You know, back
mm-hmm.
off. And
exactly.
You know, he might lead you to a different book to read it from a different perspective. And therefore,
mm-hmm.
you're not perceiving it, you know, taking, you know, kind of like a car. My intent is to drive down the street and obey the laws of the road. But some people get in their car and they're going to get in it to run over everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
that
intent.
Reminds me. Let's pray real quick for Mike and Veronica. I forgot to pray for their vehicle. They needed a new vehicle. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Mike and Veronica. We ask you, Father God, to supply their needs for that vehicle. Father God, help them to know where to go and help them to know what they're being given fairly. And what, if it's not right, Father God, just, you know, let them sense that in their spirit man to go somewhere else. I just pray, Father God, that you just guide them where they're supposed to go. In Jesus' name, let them hear about a good deal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. No, I feel like tonight is like opening people's eyes to realize that in whatever arena they're in, the enemy will try. And we have to be really careful now, whether it's with herbs, whether it's ministry, whatever your call is, the enemy will try. And we have to be really, you know, not do anything that God is not leading us to do, because it could get us in big trouble.
Well, I had an African fella tell me that he knew of a minister that was ministering to a large crowd. And the witchcraft there is a lot more manifests in a physical form, if this makes sense to you. I'm not sure if you've seen that before or not, but whatever. But he was laying hands, and the minister, he got in his ego and his pride. And when he was just in it, and he started thinking that he was the healer. You know what I'm saying here?
Oh.
And so when he was laying hands, and all of a sudden when he touched something that wasn't, that, in other words, he wasn't saying, God, you know, praying, you know, God, should I lay hands here and, you know, what is this person? You know what I'm saying? He was doing the performance of it, but he wasn't really in a prayerful situation. Or, you know, wasn't prayerful.
He wasn't really listening to God.
Let's put it that way.
He wasn't listening to God.
And so,
he was doing his own thing.
So what happened was all of a sudden it mocked him, laughed, and left, but it left his arm paralyzed.
Mm.
You know, but then there's another story I can tell you that I was scared to come home. This was the doctor had given my husband a mix of medication, and it made him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a church service, and it was like. It kind of built up, and then all of a sudden it was like in a real crazy scenario. I won't get into all the details. I'll just, you know, skip all of that. But anyway, I went to the church service, and there was probably about 1,500 people there. And he began, the night before, that we were in a bad fight, argument. And he began to describe my bedroom, my clothes, the bed, my thoughts, and he didn't ask me to come forward. He said, "You're even scared to go home," and I was. And he says, "You don't have to be scared because I'm going to go with you." Mm-hmm. And then when I got home, I got into the kitchen, and I started to walk down, and my husband stepped out of his room, and when he looked at me, there wasn't any of him there. It was 100%, you know, that entity. You know what I'm saying? When I say entity, that was no, you know, the spirit of the man was not there. It was another spirit. It was a demonic strong force. And when I looked at him, I knew there wasn't any mic. I knew I saw what I saw. And I put my back to the wall, and I was kind of, you know, just trying to make it to the living room. And he started to lunge at me. But it was just us in the house, just myself and him. And all of a sudden, I watched him like like something on a TV, you would say, wrestle. It was a fight, but I wasn't in it, and I wasn't touched. But I knew that night I would have died. I saw it. He would have killed me that night. And I saw the wrestling, and all of a sudden, the wrestling ceased. All of a sudden, there was an alert, like awake, you know, like awakening, you know, like a straightening, turned around, went back, and the next day had no recall of it at all, zero recall.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I've seen the spiritual, you know, I can tell when a person has something inside them by the shifting and the shift in the eyes.
Well, I could see it in the eyes, definitely. I've seen it.
Yeah, so, you know, the eyes, you can tell if you're dealing with the person itself or the entity that has gotten such a large strength built up that that person doesn't have control and it controls. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but let's bring it back to what we do. We need to be careful in whatever we do to not allow ourselves to fall into that.
Well, see, what happened, well, it wasn't falling in. It was already in. I'm already in it. The thing of it is that God told me I could cut. I came home. He said he was coming home with me. It was a prophetic word, and it took me, but I came home. He was just showing me who he was. God showed me his ability because I know that I heard what he said to do. I did what he said to do. I was listening.
Amen.
But when you're in that intense warfare, and this is the time in the season that we're in this kind of intense warfare, whether people want to wake up, smell the coffee, whatever, we're in a time and a season where there is intense warfare,
And we have to be careful because of what we engage
you
in.
Have to,
because we could step into something that we don't have any idea that God hasn't told you to do anything, don't do it. I remember going to a hotel where these pastors of ours wanted to see what was in town because there was, a lot of, advertisement about this man of God coming in and this and that. And so he was doing ministry in a hotel. So we went to check it out to see what was, so new for this town that really didn't have good ministry. And so one of his ministers was laid hands on anybody. They didn't realize that in that city there was a lot of witches. And so this one particular lady, she goes and starts laying hands on everybody. Next thing you know, she was the one that was on the floor manifesting. They had to pray that thing off of her. And even well-known ministers,
absolutely,
which I won't mention their names, they've done that in that same city. They went without knowing what they were getting into and started ministering over there. And then they had to break some things off of themselves because they went without God telling them to do what they were doing. And then the next day they get on.
That's what I'm trying to express. If you have to be in a place where you got to be able to hear God for yourself. You've got to have the relationship.
Exactly.
And you've got to put the time in. And it's not going to keep you out of trouble. You might see more trouble than you want to see. But at least you'll know how to handle the trouble that you do see.
Yeah, but the trouble that you can get yourself into is from getting out of line with God, and that will bring you out of protection. You're going to see things, we're going to see things, but it won't affect us, like Psalms 91 talks about. It's going to happen around us, but it's not going to touch us. But if you're not obeying God in what he's telling you to do, then these things can come. There's been people that have died early because they got out of line with the things of God. And so we're in a time where we cannot fool around. This what's coming is what's already here. We can't play around with these things. We have to listen to, I thank God for Prophet Randy because he ministers. He's going to keep us out of trouble in a sense. Yeah, I mean, we got to follow God, have that relationship with God. But he uses his prophets to say these little things, these little code words, for us. And we know, we better not do this. We better not go there. We better go here. We better, it'll help us. But if you don't have that relationship with God, no matter what Prophet Randy says, it's not going to make any sense to you. It's going to be Chinese to you. You're not going to understand it.
But it's okay to go to China. They speak English there.
No, you know what I mean. Okay, it's like him speaking in tongues.
I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you.
So, you know, my heart is to try to tell people, what I'm trying to say is, people, please, please, please seek the Lord with all your hearts now. Listen to the Lord, you know, and stay close to the church. You know, we need each other. We need each other's giftings. It's not a time to, you know, get cold and do your own thing, because there's so many crazy things going out there in churches and things like that. We still have to stay together. That's what the enemy wants, for people to not go to church anymore, people not to be part of ministry anymore because, you know, of all the crazy. And it's going to get darker in that sense.
Well, some of the things, you know, first, you know, when things start to get straight, it's, you know, God's got to get his church straight first.
Mm-hmm. It starts in the house of God first.
Yeah. It sure does. And so, I think a lot of us have been through some serious seasons to prepare us for this time. And, you know, and it's not a time to be, it's a time to be confident in God's ability and fearless in the faith that you have in God. But if you think that you're going to go up there and play games, you know, and, you know, I'll just put it to you like this. Some of the ministers out here are using God for a hustle, and I'll just put it to you like that, and that's going to stop. The hustlers are going to get hustled. So, you know, I know that has all the tie up with the 5-0, you know, all of that community that's selling themselves and prostituting the gospel. And I think that that's going to be coming to a close because, you know, I think the fear of God's going to hit some folks.
Yeah,
and straighten some folks out,
happening.
You know.
But we shouldn't be afraid. We should just keep our
That's what I was trying to say. You know, that night I know I would have died. You know what I'm saying? But God protected me, and he showed me that he had the ability to protect me. When I was in Chile, the man that came charging at me, it was like he hit a brick wall and, you know, went scurrying off, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? He just went off the other way, but he was getting ready to attack me for no reason. I was just walking down the street. But he started charging at me and acting all crazy, you know. But, you know, it was like all I did was begin to pray in tongues, and it was like you're hitting a brick wall. You know, your prayer language is important. If you don't have your prayer language, read the book of Acts. Read it again. Read the last words that Jesus said and read Acts. Read Acts and then read that. And then, you know, ask God to give it to you, you know, to release it. And, you know, begin to, you know, I got mine in a dream. It was a dream that I was battling witchcraft. It was a dream that I was coming up against these things. And every time I pointed my finger, a language came out, you know. And Mike told me that he couldn't sleep all night because I jibber-jabbered. But I didn't know I was jibber-jabbering. I was in my sleep, but I woke up speaking in tongues. That's how I got my tongues, because I didn't want to get the tongues like, you know, just start talking like a baby or, you know what I'm saying, just use one syllable. That's not, you know, it comes from a different place. It doesn't even come from your mind. It comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
It bubbles and comes up from within, you know. And you know, if you don't have it, not saying you don't have it, but you know what I'm saying to other people that are listening.
Yeah, if you don't
have it, this is how I received it. Many people that have received it
may have a different story, but this is how I got it. Because I didn't want, you know, I had already been raised in the church, already knew, you know, certain, you know, you do your songs, you know what I'm saying. So I didn't want to mimic or to copy. You know, I wanted to know that God gave it to me. And that's how I got it. You know, I had several people tell me just open my mouth and just begin to speak, but if there was nothing coming out, and it was probably me holding it back. But, you know, until I was able to get to the place to receive that gift, that gifting or releasing, maybe I'd already received it and it was about me releasing it. I can't argue on the antics of it. I just know that my experience with getting the speaking of tongues was, you know, going through a dream process and, you know, waking up, but I was seeking, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was seeking, you know, for that.
Yeah. Well, Miss Angie, I got other callers. Can I ask you to stay on the line? And, I mean, if you need to do anything, then I understand. But
no, I don't have anything to do. I'm just sitting here just running my mouth. Yeah, let's get to the other callers. I'll sit on the line with you.
Okay. Yeah, just mute yourself. I'll leave you unmuted. So if you have anything to say as we're ministering, just shout out. All right.
Okay.
My next caller. Thank you, Miss Angie. I know I could always count on you. 402-214, your name and where you're from. 402-214, your name and where you're from. Okay, I guess they're maybe in La La Land.
Hello?
Oh, your name and where you're from? Your name and where you're from? 402-214. I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now? Hear me now?
Yeah, it's an echo.
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 Okay,
it's an echo.
Okay. Might need to drop one of them.
Is this Miss Angie? I mean, Miss Sharon? Hello? Oh, her call dropped. All right, we'll pray for Miss Sharon. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Sharon. We thank you, Father God, for her love for you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life, for the change in her life, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that your love is echoing loud and clear into her heart, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Father God. She knows that she knows that she knows that you love her, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, because that love that echoes into her heart, Father God, also echoes into those that are around her, Father God, that she just allows herself to just love on them like she's loving on you, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that whatever her needs are, Father God, that you meet her needs, Father, in the name of Jesus, and strengthen her, Father God. Help her, Father God, and touch her body, Father God. Touch her legs, Father God. Help her, Father God, to do better each and every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. We'll go to the next caller, 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah, all right. Give me one moment, I'll pray over you. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. You know, I thank you, Lord, You know, I'm sensing that the Lord is giving you compassion for others, that he's opening your eyes to the needs of others, and there's a compassion that he's pouring out on you, Sarah, understanding that others are going through, and he's almost like giving you eyes to see, like magnifying those things so that you can see them and realize that these people need your compassion. And almost like, it's almost like these Mr. Magoo's glasses that, you know, you need to see. And so God is letting you see the people around you that are needing that compassion. It's almost like he's putting that on you to see so that you can do something about it. So he's giving you compassion towards them, and I don't know what that's all about, but praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the compassionate eyes and heart that you give Sarah in Jesus' name. Help her, and Father God, help her to know how to help these people that she's having compassion over, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ms. Ann, do you have anything for Sarah? Ms. Angie, do you have anything for Sarah?
No.
Okay. Sarah, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
All blessed. Anything you have for us, a testimony and word?
Well, I have a testimony. I really enjoy your teaching and how much the Lord has blessed you with the words of knowledge and wisdom. I listen to it and learn a lot from it because, you know, a lot of things I read the word and I've got to, it's like I'm just going to be honest with you. My daughter and I, you know, had some words, a little disagreement. And I this kind of lines up with what you're saying about compassion. And mm-hmm. I just felt like in the situation, it was like kind of late and I didn't feel like cooking. There's just and I had promised her that I would cook, you know, and make some tacos and do the Mexican night tonight. And then I was tired. I said, I'm just not going to do it. I'm this and that. And then I start feeling more compassion, like, you know what, she was hungry, I'm going to do it. And the love of God came over me as I was cooking to see how easy it is to do that rather than sit there and argue, I'm not going to do it, I know, I promised you, you're this. You know, I could have went on and on arguing. The love of God came in and let me know that through the cooking, it was easier to do it that way and make up and love and have that compassion towards her and use that instead of bickering and arguing. You know what I mean? So that kind of gave me, ties up with your word, is using more compassion to love people. And then, like, another example is my nephew and his fiance. She just didn't feel good, or she just started feeling out of wits, kind of like depression. And I told her that the Lord loves you and do not let the enemy come in and make you feel depressed. You know, that you're not doing enough. You need to be doing more. That's just the enemy talking in your ear, because you could have a breakthrough on the other side and he may make you think, well, I'm just not doing enough, or this is not it for me. I just want to, you know, I've had my wits end. So that's, whenever you hear that kind of talk or him telling you that in your ear, that's him, you know, to come in and make you do things, because his time is short. And that's why so many things are going on in the world. I mean, this is just my belief, is that his time is short. And especially out there in Hollywood, you know, I mean, I can't say that I'm perfect or anything, because the only person who's perfect is Jesus. But we've got to look and save souls and let them know that Jesus reigns, and the enemy know his time is short. So that's why so much acting up and all of that. And so saving souls, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just preach
and
the word of God.
And that's what I was talking
you know?
About earlier. Yeah, I was talking about that earlier, you know, encouraging everybody to, even when you don't feel like it, sometimes you don't feel like it. And so you can't go by feelings. If I did go by feelings, I wouldn't be on Saturdays because I'd be so tired. My feelings would say, oh, no, you're too tired. And let me tell you, I'm tired, and I wake up early. I wake up early, and I'm physically tired. It's so demanding what I do. And I come home sometimes aching, and I still come, and I get on PGN to minister to people. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to encourage other people so that they can see that if you go by feelings, you would never get anything done. You would never do anything for anybody. Because the enemy will put something always in the way of you not wanting to do it. And so when you get done doing it, you realize, oh, it was a bigger blessing for me than it was for them. So,
you know, and that's so true. You know, that's so true, Prophetess Carmen, because during the process, I know this sounds crazy, but during the process, because I did promise my daughter I was going to do tonight, I was going to do the, you know, the tacos and whatever. And she was like, well, you know, I was like, you go in the store. I don't want to do it. You know, it was, I was tired too physically. But the more you calm down a situation with love and compassion, like you were saying, of the Lord, everything flows freely. Everything flows. It's just the way God puts it together. Out of love, and he works with people through compassion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as far as the aching, I just pray that the Lord, it just, when you get on the line, I would never know that you're hurting. The Lord is giving you that strength to carry
mm-hmm.
on his word, because I would never know it. It seems like you're starting off fresh, you know? And getting ready to
the Lord.
Teach the word. Yeah. That's him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not about me. It's about God. And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody because a lot of times, you know, we leave things alone and we don't realize there may be somebody that might really need something more than you do. And so I know this, hurting people or maybe a word that they need to hear to realize that, hey, God loves me. God is listening to me. And we might need that extra word for that week to push us to the next week. So I don't know. I don't know what a word may mean for somebody, but I have to be obedient. And I want you all to be obedient and to, you know, go the extra mile with other people. And bless them, you know. You will be blessed. You know, you'll bless them, but you will be blessed. And you will bless the Lord most of all. You know, it blesses him when we are obedient and we walk in love. So I hope that touches your testimony and my testimony touches someone else tonight. Is there anything else you want to say? Or thank you for that testimony.
Well, you're blessed to be a blessing, you know, to other people because they can get something, you know, out of the word on Saturdays and, you know, and through the week. So from everybody else, the other prophets. But I just, you know, wanted prayer for just more fruits of the Spirit because that's, for me, I don't know about anybody else. I think I can use more fruits of the Spirit. And just pray that the Lord orders my footsteps on a daily basis. And that's pretty much
okay.
It. Covers me in traveling and everything else.
Mm-hmm. I know. Miss Angie, are you there? Can you pray for her? I feel like you would be good to pray for her. or the fruit of the spirit. I was going to say.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me
go
now?
Ahead.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Miss Ann.
Miss Ann.
You can hear me?
Yes,
can you
ma'am.
Hear me? Okay. Father God, we just lift up Sarah, and we just ask that your spirit just fills her, God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And Father God, that voice would even, your voice inside her would become stronger, and that as she quickly hears and quickly does, as the spirit inside moves her, as you speak to her in that small voice inside, to know how to handle her daughter and the situations around her, and that love, as she speaks the words of the Lord, that her daughter's heart just softens and turns, and that they have a better relationship and union together in a peaceful environment. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you so much. I
can tell you that, you know, a lot of times, I mean, it's a simple act. It's just, you know, that when you hear the Lord saying, just stop, don't say that, don't even speak, don't acknowledge it, you know, because a lot of times, sometimes they're just blowing off steam, or you know, they're in the wrong spirit, and you just have to wait for them to get quiet enough to even speak into them. You know, sometimes God will tell you not to even say a word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it might be that, you know, it might be, you know, let's go get a pedicure together. You know, just doing something simple, you know, or you giving her a pedicure, wash her feet.
Mm. Yes.
And let her wash yours.
Yeah.
You know, just set up a little pedicure and wash and do, you know what I'm saying? Just start, you know, realize that it matters. The little things that you do matter.
That's true.
You know, that's how God delivered us out of a
mm-hmm.
toxic, violent situations. Was, you
mm-hmm.
know, by little small acts
of kindness,
and sometimes not speaking to it or whatever, because when the person is not there and whatever spirit has gotten on or ruling at the moment is, you know, has
no
authority.
That's like I was saying earlier
I
about,
can tell
you
this.
Know.
What?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I could tell when I was talking to Mike and when I was talking to it. And I watched
mm-hmm.
how it happened, and he showed me that when I used my words, and I was, and what I was saying wasn't wrong, it wasn't that at all, but what the enemy was doing was that spirit was speaking out, trying to hit me in my soft spot to make me react and say hurtful, hateful
mm-hmm.
things back in defense that was right but not right, you know. And he would say, well, I wouldn't say that if I was you. Be quiet. I wouldn't say that. And if I, you know, and if I felt self-righteous and self-justified in doing so, and the next thing I would hear was, oh, you're going to like the results. Do you like the results of that?
So it didn't take.
That's what I was explaining earlier. I was trying to explain that earlier to Mike and Veronica. What I was explaining that sometimes pride will get into someone else, and the way to diffuse it is not saying anything at all, not engaging in it.
Right.
Not engage whoever they may be, even husband and within husband and wives, you know, the family members, you know, don't engage in
the
it.
Power struggle.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
You just make it work when you add your two cents in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pride.
Absolutely.
It's pride.
I had to wash Mike's feet. When God told me to wash Mike's feet, you know what I asked him? I said, I'll be glad to if you're going to make him drink the dirty water. That was my attitude, but I didn't feed it to him. Sometimes we have, you know, I'm just being honest, Hugo. You know what I'm saying. Gets you so fired,
yes,
mad,
I
God
know.
Tell you to do something like that, makes you even madder. What do you mean, wash their feet? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, go the extra mile. No, I'm not.
You know.
Yeah,
so I thought, you know, I can tell you. I can tell you. I'm the, yeah. So,
yeah. So not after
don't nature, blame me. Don't blame me if you're washing feet and wanting them to drink dirty water. But you know, I'm just telling you. I'm just being real about it. Sometimes serving ain't easy.
I know it isn't. Well,
I felt the same way because when I was getting ready to cook, I said I'm gonna shove this in the microwave, and then after that I'm gonna make this instantly. And I just had this attitude. But when the Lord is dealing with you, when the Lord is dealing with you, you're like, if I'm going to serve with compassion and do what the Lord tells me to do, I don't act like that, you know? Well, I was like, I'll show you. I'm going to shove it into the microwave. Then I'm going to take it out and put some, you know? But that's not God, you know?
Well, no, that's you. That's you what you know, God to shoot down a lightning fire, you know, call down fire like what did they say? Jesus says you don't know what you're asking for here. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to bring down fire on somebody because it's coming. It's going to hit you too, baby. You know. Oh, God, change him. Change him, God. Change him. You know he needs to be changed. Well, good. We'll start with you first.
Right. Change me.
You
right.
know,
exactly.
I'm sitting there with my britches hung on the nail, you know, trying to get away. Never mind. We don't need to change this right now.
All righty. This lady. All right, Miss Angie. All right, Sarah. I have other people that I want to minister to before the time goes out.
Oh,
is there anything else you would like to say?
I just can't stop laughing. I have to go.
Miss Angie, look what you've done. See, I knew it. I got the right person to pray for you, Sarah.
Well, laughter is good medicine, though. You need it.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yeah. It's healthy. It's good for us. It's good medicine. Right, Miss Angie?
Okay.
It's good medicine?
Good medicine.
Angie, you're
I'm here. I was trying to find my buttons. I hit a button, and then I was trying to find the buttons again. You're catching
okay.
me in my – I'm doing the Randy thing. I'm hitting buttons.
Sorry, Brother Randy. It wasn't me. It was her. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble.
He'll know where it's coming from. You'll be okay. He'll come after me.
Oh, my goodness. Never know what to expect with Miss Angie. All right, Miss Sarah, is there anything else?
Okay, I gotta stop myself. I tell you, I've enjoyed it. It's been a joy of the Lord, you know, that maketh rich and added no sorrow.
Oh, you got started. All right. Anything else, Sarah?
That's it. I know you got other callers.
All right,
so. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you had a good chuckle, and have a blessed week.
You too. Thank you. Bye, y'all.
All right. God bless.
Bye.
I got to keep some order in here. All right. Let's see. I got four, six, nine. 55553. Your name and where you're from?
Yes, ma'am. It's Barbara.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Barbara. I didn't put your name down. See, I got to write it down. All right. I'm sorry. I'll mute this. Good. All right. Okay. 330. 414. Your name and where you're from? Maybe they went to sleep. We'll get back to them. All right. Next caller. 243, your name and where you're from?
Anonymous.
Anonymous, okay. Lord, we just thank you for Anonymous. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Anonymous. Thank you, Lord. I just heard the word unveiling. There's some things that God's going to be unveiling in your life and showing you. He's unveiling some things, showing you something about you. He's showing you some things about you. And it's not necessarily bad things. It's good things. Sometimes we fear coming to God, because we think that he's this God that has his fingers stuck out at us, ready to scold us. And God is not like that. What he's trying to show you is there's some things in you that he wants to show you, that he put in you, that he created in you for his glory. And so he's going to be unveiling some things. If he hasn't already done so, he's going to be doing this. And Lord, we just thank you for this unveiling. I just can't get away from that word, from the unveiling of these things that God is going to be showing you for his purpose and for his glory. And we thank you for Anonymous in the name of Jesus. Ms. Angie, do you have anything for, I was going to say unveiling, for Anonymous?
I'm hitting buttons.
Hitting buttons.
Yes, I had to. You told me to hit mute, so I have to find the mute to. I see. I can't even say it when I'm grinning. I'm grinning still. Mute.
All right. Do you have anything for Anonymous?
No, I just think that what I sensed is that in the revealing, there's going to be healing in places that he's going to be able to understand him, you know, and love himself again. You know what I mean? To love yourself. Mm. God's going to show you the specialness, you know, and lift. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. So when you're under, when you self guilt or over self analyze yourself, you know, that the enemy tries to put things on us that isn't ours and it isn't the truth. But God's going to show you the truth, and you'll be able to love yourself. That's what I said.
Okay. Let's bring him on. Anonymous, are you there?
Down around Columbus.
Anonymous, are you there? Anonymous, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hello? I heard a bed or something. I guess it's some...
Hello? Anonymous?
I think there's two pastors, and I think it's the former druggie.
Hello, Anonymous?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't give him back. I guess he's either talking to somebody. So there you go, Anonymous. God bless you, and prepare for the unveiling. Amen, if it's not already happening. All right. 240-482, your name and where you're from.
Good evening. This is Valerie from North Carolina. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. God bless. Okay, North Carolina. All right. I won't mute you, so let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I'll mute people because there's a lot of background noises, so don't hang up if I do. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus for Valerie. We thank you, Father God, for Valerie from North Carolina, Lord. We thank you, Father God. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's some things that either you're praying about and asking God, Lord, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to where I was. I want to be different. I want to be where you want me to be, is what I'm sensing. And you realize that, you know, that is the perfect prayer, because that's where we are humble. And when we are humbled before him, asking prayers like that you don't want to go back, that you want to go forward, that you want to go where he wants you to go, that's where God wants you also. And so that is perfect. That is where humility starts. Humility is depending on God, not depending on our own strength to get us to where we need to be. And so we thank you, Father God, for Valerie's humility, that she's recognizing there's some changes that need to be made, and that her help comes from the Lord and no one else, that there's no other source but the Lord to make those changes come about. So we thank you, Father God, for that. Those prayers, or that desire, that wanting, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name. Miss Angie, do you have anything for Valerie? Those buttons, Miss Angie.
I don't have anything at this time, though.
Okay. All right.
I was wondering though.
Go ahead.
There's a move in Asbury, North Carolina. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
It's a college, and the chapel service, you know, everyone is supposed to come and attend. but the prayer meeting started and it's still going on. It hasn't stopped. I was just wondering if you were close by to that.
You said it's in Asbury, North Carolina?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever heard of Asbury. I'm not from North Carolina, but I'll have to look that up. I've heard of Asheboro and Asheville.
So how are we, Miss Valerie?
Could you say that again?
It's at a college campus.
Okay.
Asbury campus?
I'll look into that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, hello, Miss Valerie. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing pretty good. How are you all this evening?
Oh, bless. Is there anything you would like to say? Do you have a testimony for us?
You know, one thing that I will say is in the ongoing life challenges, I can testify to God's goodness and God's grace in my life. You know, I think that the Lord has definitely been my strength, and he's really sustained me through some challenging times. And, you know, though I didn't expect the challenging times, I'm just very thankful for all that he's done to keep me during the challenging times. And I'm still, you know, walking with the Lord and not bitter and resentful, but all the, you know, the things that could really get you off track. So I'm just thankful to the Lord for that.
Amen, amen. That's good. That is awesome.
Valerie, I'm sorry. It's in Kentucky.
Oh, you know what? I have
but
heard
I was
of
thinking,
that.
I was thinking of, you know, Ash. You know, like you said, you've got Asbury or Asheboro, and I'm from North Carolina, but, you know, I kind of associated it with North Carolina, but it's in Kentucky.
Okay.
I wouldn't look for it if I was you.
whose daughter goes there.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I didn't even realize.
Your daughter goes there?
That, I was like, well, not me. One of my good friends, her daughter, goes there. And I wouldn't have made the connection until you said Kentucky.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I was just wondering because that's – what's they can't shut the chapel down the prayer before they did shut it down, but they're not shutting it. I don't think they're shutting it down this time. I think they're letting it go.
That's awesome.
I mean, continue. And it's
wow,
the kids.
Awesome.
You know, it's not the faculty. It's the kids going there.
Wow. That's something, huh? Praise God.
So,
yeah, that's wonderful.
You know.
Yes, that is. Wow. What made you bring that up, Miss Angie? There must have been a reason.
I don't know. I was just because the North Carolina, and I just went there in my head about, you know, that it was a prayer. It started with prayer and it hasn't stopped.
Wow.
It's ongoing.
Yeah.
It's a nonstop, continual flood.
How long has it been going on?
The revival and the pouring out. And, you know, I just know that God's people are, you know, that are crying out is going to get a pouring out. You know, the ones with the, you know, the purity of seeking the Lord, you know.
Yeah, things happen when there's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that in history where people have started praying and it's changed their city and revival has spoken out. So, wow. That's
yeah,
what
well,
we need more of. We can't get a 24-hour prayer group, you know. So if they're ongoing, they must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be places where, you know, there's just going to be such an over pouring out because of those that are willing to seek or seeking and God's answering. It's a Ashbury University is a private Christian. I'm reading it on Google University in Wilmore, Kentucky. Although it's not, it is a non-denominational school. The college is aligned with the Wesleyan Holiness Movement. The school offers 50 plus majors across 17 departments.
Wow.
That's what's on. That's what it's, you know, written.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, maybe that's something that we should consider with our family, with our community, getting together. I remember that when years ago, when my ex-husband had gone to war, I noticed that when I lived in North Carolina, people were praying all the time. People had started coming to church. It took something like that to bring people back. And then after the war was over, everybody went back to normal. The same thing when 9/11 happened, people started going to church and it dwindled down again. And so we have to understand that we can't wait for something awful to happen in order to begin to pray again. A prayer can push back certain things. I mean, not the things that are coming, you know, that are ordained to come, but many of the darkness, they don't have to be. They don't have to be if we're praying. So, I mean, we could push the darkness back in our family, in our situation, not wait. I'm constantly talking to the Lord. I have his ears, like, probably swollen from all of my prayers all the time. I'm in the morning while I'm working all the time. I'm constantly praying, Lord, do you see this? Lord, about that. I'm always praying. But there's power in numbers, you know. There is some synergy going on when people get together. It's like a lot. It's powerful. And so we should not think that being by ourselves, you know, is enough. Sometimes we need to be with other people to pray, to lift things in prayer. And that's powerful. You know, we send some angels to work. Amen.
Amen.
Miss Valerie, do you have anything else for us? Do you need prayer for anything else? Would you like to say something?
Not anything that I can think of. To ask for prayer for wisdom around my job situation. And I'm just asking for guidance on, you know, what to do in terms of staying where I am. Should I look for something else? I kind of feel like it might be time to move on, but that the thought of that is scary because of, you know, where the economy is right now, and and also, you know, it's I'm in a situation where I do have a lot of flexibility, which I need,
as a single mom, and, you know, that has kind of kept me in place. But I just want to be where the Lord wants me to be. And I've been feeling like I just need to get all my ducks in a row, so to speak, in terms of like getting everything in a good place, so that, so that I can leave and leave well. But I've just wanted to ask for wisdom and guidance in the situation.
Yes, I see. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Valerie's asking you, you've heard her voice. You've heard her petition. You've heard her heart, Father God, on this matter. So many things are attached to this job, Father God. Her family, it's good for her, Father God, because it gives her time, Father. But we just pray that your perfect will be done in this situation, whether it's in another job,
yes,
or just give her peace in the job that she has, if that's where she needs to stay. And we pray, Father God, for that wisdom that she will know that she knows where she has to be, Father God. And if it's for her to move, Father God, I just pray that you also give her that comfortable feeling, Father God, to know that it's time to move, that she knows that you're leading her somewhere else. We just ask you, Father God, for that wisdom, Father God, and also for other people on PGN, Father God, that may be experiencing the same things, Father God, that you also give them wisdom, that you also give them a better job. There's no secure job, but there's always security in the Lord. And we ask you, Father God, trusting you, you're going to lead and guide us in whatever we need to do. We trust in you, Father God, because you are the one that provides. You're the one that gives us what we need. And so putting our eyes on you and trusting in you, knowing that you're the one, that these jobs are just a way that you provide for us. But they're not gives us the provision, but it's all coming from your hand, Father God. And if there's another way that provision needs to come, we ask you, Father God, to show her and guide her, Father God, whatever that may be. And we pray, Father God, not only for her, for other people that are going through that same situation, being a little shaken with the way that the economy is, Father God, that you would show them where they need to be, where they need to be positioned, Father God, that you would position them there, because you're positioning your soldiers in different places, Father God. And so I pray, Father God, that wherever you need to position her, Father God, that she would hear clearly and that she would move quickly. In Jesus' name, and help her, Father God, in all that she goes to do, so that she'll be able to continue to provide for her family, Father God, in Jesus' name. And thank you for the provision for other brothers and sisters that are going through that same thing, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Ms. Angie, do you have anything to add to that prayer?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we understand, Valerie. Yes, a lot of people
Thank
are going
you.
Through that. They don't know whether to move or to stay. And so for wisdom, we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. You have a wonderful week. All right.
You, too.
All right, bye-bye. All right, I have other people. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do this from my phone because my computer went out on me, and so I can't use that. All right, did I? 303-414, your name and where you're from. 303-414. They raised their hands. They probably went to sleep. Well, we'll pray for them. Are you there? Hello? You probably fell asleep. All right. Father God, we just pray for 303-414. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to bless them. Thank you, Lord. Provide for all their needs, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for open doors and that you shut the doors that need to be shut in the name of Jesus. Shut the doors that need to be shut and open the doors that need to be opened in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's see. Okay. Give me one moment here. All right. Well, I answered two. I guess they were sleeping. All right, everybody. I guess that's it. Miss Angie, do you have anything you want to say before we close?
No, I don't, but I enjoyed this evening. I enjoyed the laughter and the fellowship and the storytelling.
Yes. All right. Well, do you want to close in prayer?
Sure. Father, we just lift up all the listeners and the participants of PGN and Randy and Ms. Carmen and all those that serve and minister and sacrifice their time and put themselves in a position to where they can hear your voice. Father God, we ask that you bring special blessings to all the listeners and the participants. And we ask that you reveal yourself even more so in a deeper way in each and every one of us, God, that we can know that when we sit in your presence, that you're presently there with us and you're tangible. And we thank you for your tangibility and that your virtue flows into each and every one of us, that we can walk upright before you and mainly you. And only you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. And if there was something that you needed prayer for but didn't raise your hand about, Lord, we just ask you to bless the callers tonight and meet their needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name. We thank you for each and every one of them. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name, we thank you for Prophet Randy, Father God, and we just ask you to help us to be hearers, not only hearers, but doers of your word as we hear the word being spoken in Jesus' name, and we thank you for that. Amen. I'm going to play this one last song. Give me one moment here. It's a little funny to work off of your phone. Give one second here. All right, and I'll play the song and then I'll finish the show. God bless you. You have a blessed week and come back next week. Prophet Randy is on from Monday to Thursday. Thursday is the communion. It starts at 9 o'clock Dallas time. And be blessed. Amen. Good night.
Of stars, the sun and moon, heaven and earth, the time by you. Oh, I believe in you. Took my weary heart, broken and bruised, every part you made brand new.
Just wanted to say thank you, Miss Angie. God bless you. Good night.